Good morning, everyone. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you on this day, this wonderful, glorious day that the Lord has made. We are glad that we have the opportunity to be here this morning to worship and praise the name of God on this wonderful, glorious Lord's Day. We just have all of you again to make sure that you please read your, not only read your bulletin, but also go to our church website. We are planning, hopefully, on doing some things in the near future. One of the things that we're in the planning stages about is having a community day sometime around September, early September. So we are in the stages of planning for that. We don't know what the city is going to say yet. We don't know if the city will approve it or not. As you know, we are, you know, just when it looks like we're going to be able to resume some semblance of normalcy, the pandemic is again surging in some places, so we'll just see how that plays out. But hopefully we'll be having a community day in September, sometime around September 11. But please keep that in mind and continue to go to our webpage to stay abreast of what is happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church. I just wanted to thank you all, too, for last Sunday. Claire Jones, who was here last Sunday, she loves Alney Presbyterian Church, and she loves being here, and she just said that how much she loved being here and how much she loved the congregation. So I give you thanks for welcoming her last week, and please continue to keep her in your prayers. She is planning to become ordained. She is going through the ordination process, and that's always a process. But please keep her in your prayers. There are, of course, other things that we hope will be going on, as I said earlier, so please keep all of us in prayer, especially the session as we look down the road and as we continue to plan in the midst of this pandemic.
Good morning again. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 17, all the way through chapter 5, verse 2. Please listen to the word of the Lord. Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of the heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ. For surely you have heard about him and were taught in him, as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lust, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourself with the new self, creating according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Despite a lot of our modern talk about originality and individual freedom and creativity and all that, we human beings are imitators at heart. We are creatures who imitate each other. We mimic each other. A lot of things that we consider to be cool or appropriate or socially acceptable are things that we get from imitating others and watching others. Usually people who are close to us, parents, teachers, co-workers, trendsetters, celebrities, we are constantly watching people and imitating them and mimicking other people's behaviors. Children, of course, are natural born imitators. I mean, that's what children do. They watch and they imitate and they mimic. I think we probably all had someone that we imitated as kids, usually our parents or maybe a teacher or someone, but the children are natural born imitators. When I was a child, I used to like to imitate the adults at church. You know, when I was in church, you know, I used to hate it when the fourth grade Sunday school teacher used to ask me to pray because I didn't know how to pray. I only knew two prayers, "Now thy lay me down to sleep," and, you know, "God is good, God is great," you know, the prayer that you say before the meal. And so I used to hate it when he would call on me to pray. So I used to watch the adults in church and watched how they prayed. And when they would be called upon to pray, I, you know, would mimic and imitate their mannerisms and their phrases. And so I learned how to pray from imitating and watching the adults in church. I used to watch adults in church in other ways too. I used to watch the ushers who would be in the back door. You know, they were, you know, these men in dark suits, and they would, you know, we'd be looking dignified and solemn, and I would, you know, sometimes mimic their behavior and mimic the way, you know, they acted and the way they walked and that kind of thing. And of course I mimicked the way the adults, you know, behaved in church. You know, always a kind of mimic that behavior. They always looked like they were, you know, so engaged. You know, they'd be listening to the pastor, and I used to say to myself, I know that they're probably as bored as I am listening to that guy up front talking, but they all look like they're engaged, and so I would mimic their behavior. And people used to come up, and they used to congratulate my mother and say, "Boy, your kids are so well-behaved." And I used to say to myself, "Lady, you don't understand what would happen to us if..." You don't know what would happen to us if we embarrassed our mother. But, you know, I know we have debates sometimes about children being in the sanctuary, but part of being a child is watching and observing and imitating. And children do that well. We all do that. That's how we learn, through imitation. But, of course, the church, you have to be, you know, a little bit careful about imitating people, even in the church. So sometimes we in the church can imitate the wrong people and the wrong thing. Sometimes we can bring the values and the behaviors of the world around us, the surrounding culture, inside the church. Perhaps that was the case with the church at Ephesus that Paul was addressing in our text this morning. You know, the Ephesians were Gentiles. That is, they were non-Jews. Before they became followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were Gentiles. They didn't know the one true God, and they were mimicking and imitating the people that they saw around them. And Paul says, you know, they need to stop that. Don't live like the Gentiles. Stop living the way you used to live. Stop living like the Gentiles. You are now a whole new creation. You are now something else. Clothe yourself with the new life. And stop living in the old ways. Stop living in the ways you used to live. Stop imitating and mimicking the people who are around you. I think if Paul were with us today, he would probably say the same thing to all of us, to us Christians here in in the United States, I think Paul would say, stop living like the people around you. Stop imitating the wrong behaviors and the wrong values. Stop living like the Americans. Stop living like the people around you. Don't you think Paul would tell us something like that? In fact, if you pay attention to that catalog of sin that Paul enumerates, it sounds an awful lot like our day, doesn't it? Sounds an awful lot like our current context in many ways. You know, bitterness, wrath, anger, slander, malice, evil talk, licentiousness, all of that sounds like our modern American context in many ways. It sounds like the behaviors that we see all around us. Sounds an awful lot like us. I can imagine Paul telling us, the church, the same thing that he told the Ephesians. Stop living like that. Stop being like the people around you. Stop living like the Americans. Stop imitating and mimicking the people you see around you. Stop mimicking and imitating the politicians. Stop mimicking and imitating the celebrities, the trendsetters, the talking heads. Don't live like that. Don't bring any of that bitterness, that wrath, that anger, that licentiousness, that greed, that division. Don't bring any of that inside of the church. But we do sometimes, don't we? Indeed, for some people, the church is just a natural place to bring some of the bitterness and the anger that they are feeling inside of themselves. But Paul says that we're supposed to be different. In Christ, we are a new creation, a whole new creation. And so Paul says, go clothe yourself. Clothe yourself in the new life. That new life, of course, is life that has God at the center of it. Eternal life is what it's called. Eternal life is not just life that happens after we die, but eternal life is life that has God at the center of it. And Paul says that if you want to learn how to live the new life, if you want to learn what it means to be the people of God, then you need to imitate God. That's kind of a jarring statement when you think about it, imitating God. In other places, Paul says, imitate me. But now he says, to imitate God. And it sounds a bit pretentious, doesn't it? Imitate God. I mean, how in the world do we imitate God? But Paul says, that's what you need to do, imitate God. Indeed, not only does that sound pretentious, but it sounds dangerous to imitate God. Indeed, isn't that a part of the problem, is that we have a lot of people out there trying to imitate God, especially since we tend to think of God as, you know, having absolute power. God's the great big guy in the sky. God's the one that has all the power. God's the one who can control everything. God's the one who can dominate and control and crush. And so we have a lot of people trying to imitate God. If that's what it means to be like God, then that's what a lot of people do. They try to control and dominate others, try to find power, have more and more power, judging others. That's what it means to imitate God. But when Paul says to imitate God, he means something else. When Paul says imitate God, he means imitating the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul always wraps everything around the Lord Jesus Christ, including our understanding of God. And trying to imitate an understanding of God other than the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ is bound not to make us more godlike, but is bound to make us more demonic. But Paul wants us to imitate the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he wants us to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Imitate God, says Paul. If you're going to imitate anybody, imitate God. And here's how we know that we're on the right track, that we're imitating God, that we're imitating the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because there's a list of virtues that ought to be cultivated. When people see us, they ought to see something of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so Paul list a number of virtues that ought to be in evidence among us. And one of them is kindness. Being kind. That's what Paul says, that we ought to be kind to one another. I have to confess that kindness is not one of the virtues that readily engages me. In fact, when I first read this passage, I kind of read right over it, you know, kindness. I mean, You know, if we we're honest with ourselves, we live in a country and in a world that where kindness doesn't resonate very, very far in our society. I know we often give a lot of lip service to random acts of kindness and that kind of thing, but by and large, I suspect that most people don't think of kindness as being something that it gets you very far. We don't value kindness. We value effectiveness. We value getting things done. We value a whole lot of other things, but I don't think that kindness is high up on the list. That's what Paul says. Be kind and tender-hearted. Kindness, of course, is more than being nice. There are a lot of people who are nice. A lot of our fellow Americans are nice. Presbyterians are nice. It's one of the things that endeared me to Presbyterianism, some 30 years ago when I was in seminary. Presbyterians were nice. That's what I used to say. These people are nice. Really nice. I couldn't even pick a fight with Presbyterians, You know, sometimes I would say something in seminary, something controversial, something that was designed to, start a fight, and you couldn't even pick a fight. They would say things like, thank you. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your comments. And I'd say, that's nice, Presbyterians are nice, But don't let Presbyterians fool you. They know how to fight. they fight in their own way, And say things like, thank you for your comments, But don't expect that scholarship you got last semester. Presbyterians know how to fight in their own way. But niceness, niceness is something else. Niceness is not necessarily kindness. People are nice all the time. Sometimes niceness can mask all kinds of other things. Sometimes we're nice because, it makes us look good, and that's what niceness is usually about. Niceness is self-focused. It's about appearing to be civil and polite and refined and pleasing because we want to be known for being nice. All of us want to be known for being nice, don't we? We want to be nice people, most of us. I mean, there are nasty people, mean people, people who don't care what people think about them, but most of us want to be considered to be nice. It's the refined thing, the polite thing to be nice. But kindness is something else. Kindness is not self-focused. Kindness is other-centered. It's other-focused. Kindness is rooted in love and empathy and compassion for the other person. Kindness is about building the other person up. It's about genuinely being concerned about the other person's well-being. Kindness and kin, are two related words. They both come from the old English word kind, K-Y-N-D-E, which means nation or meant nation. And kin and kindness, they're related. Kindness means, treating people like yourself. Treating people like you would treat someone who was related to you, who was kin to you. Treating people with love and care. Wanting the best for people. Wanting the best for others. That's what being kind is about. Wanting the best for others. Treating them like you would treat the people that you love and care about. The people who are close to you. And that's what Paul says. Be kind. Be kind and tender-hearted. Of course, the opposite of kindness is ruthlessness. And ruthlessness is all around us, isn't it? It seems like our society is becoming more and more ruthless. It seems to be increased ruthlessness all around us, everywhere you turn. Ruthlessness in politics, ruthlessness in business, ruthlessness in sports. It's not enough just to win. But you have to humiliate the opponent, have to belittle the opponent, have to be ruthless. Ruthlessness in entertainment, you watch some of these reality TV shows and they're all about being ruthless. In order to gain the prize, in order to get what you want, you have to be ruthless. You have to betray others, you have to, be backstabbing, you have to be be fake and conceited. It's all about ruthless. Anything to get what you want. Treat people any way you want to treat them in order to get what you want, in order to win. And unfortunately, sometimes people of God, we imitate that behavior ourselves, don't we? We mimic that behavior ourselves. Whatever it takes to win, whatever it takes to make the point. Sometimes we do it in the name of the good, we do it in the name of God, but it, you know, the end game we think is if we're doing it in the name of God, then anything goes. We can do whatever we want in order to win. We can treat people in any way we want if it means that we're going to win, that we're going to be right, that we are right. I have a confession to make. You know, I'm somewhat polemical by nature. You know, the Lord has been working with me on that, but I love to, you know, be engaged in a good fight sometimes. You know, I love to argue and being, you know, engage in a good fight. And I remember several years ago, I was on the internet, social media, you know, the internet. I forget, you know, what we were arguing about, but I was arguing with somebody online, and I remember I was making a point, and I decided, boy, I responded, and you know, I really let him have it, because I was right. You know, my point was right, and I wanted him to know, you know, that I was right, and I really let him have it, and I felt good and justified after I had written what I had written. But I started to thinking about it, and after thinking about it, I told myself, you know, that was kind of, well, it wasn't kind. My response wasn't kind. I was speaking the truth as I understood it, but I wasn't speaking the truth in love. I'd let anger and all kinds of other things intercede, and so I'd let that person have it and was not being kind. I wasn't imitating God. I was imitating the culture around us, and we do that a lot. But Paul says that we are to be kind to one another. If you're going to imitate anyone, says Paul, imitate God. Imitate God because you are a new creation. You are a new creature. No longer live the way as people around you. Be different. Clothe yourself with the new life. Clothe yourself with the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Put on the new life. I like what Paul says here. He says, put away all your bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander together with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. God in Christ has forgiven you. God in Christ has forgiven you. This is the way that the Lord Jesus Christ has treated you. This is the way that God has treated all of us. God hasn't treated us the way that we often treat each other. God hasn't treated us the way that we're sometimes comfortable with treating each other, but God has treated us with kindness. God has treated us tenderly. God has treated us with forgiveness. God in Christ has treated us in a particular kind of way. And Paul says, imitate that. Imitate God, the God we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, because Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Christ loved us. God loved us. There's that little word again, that word love. Hesed is the Hebrew word, but it's love, that self-giving love. Christ loved us. God loved us. You know, I've been doing this now for 30 years. preaching 30 years, some 30 years, and it's been my experience that whenever we talk about that little word love, even in a Christian context, that people feel a little bit uncomfortable about it, even Christians, you know, when you talk about the word love, despite the fact that we're told in the Bible that God is love, the fact that the Apostle Paul says three things remain, faith, trust and hope and love, and the greatest of these is love, we still have a problem with that little word love. Maybe it's because we're afraid of the word. Maybe it's because we're afraid to imitate God. We know that if we go out and be loving, that that will make us vulnerable. And so we try to grasp for power. We try to grasp that other vision of what it means to be God-like. Grasp for power, grasp for control, grasp for dominance. If we can just dominate and control the things around us. But we're not imitating God. We're not imitating Christ. Christ loved us. And gave himself up for us. And that's what we are called to be like. We are called to be like God. We're called to be like Christ. We're called to be loving and forgiving. We're called to be kind. We're called to give ourselves to each other, because that's what it means to be like God. That's what it means to imitate God, which was, of course, our original vocation. Wasn't that what we were created to be like? Weren't we created in God's image? Weren't we created to look like God, to be like God, to imitate God, to reflect God's glory? That's what we were created to be before we human beings made a mess out of everything. But Paul says to imitate God. So the question for you this morning is, who are you imitating? Who are you trying to be like? Who do you want to be like? Who does your behavior suggest that you are like? Are you like the God who loves us all, who cares for us, or are we imitating someone else? Put away the behaviors of those around you and clothe yourself. Clothe yourself in the new life. Eternal life, life that has God at the center of it. Be like God. Because to be like God is to be loving and forgiving and kind to all. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to you this morning giving you thanks for your gracious, loving presence in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our hearts. We ask, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, you continue to transform us into your likeness. We recognize that we live in a society where we are bombarded day in and day out with all kinds of other examples. Examples of meanness, examples of ruthlessness, examples of how we ought to treat one another. But there are ways that are far from the ways that you have taught us. There are ways that are far from the way of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself, who walked in the way of the cross. And so we ask, Lord, that in our own trajectory, in our own journey in life, that you empower us to walk that way too. To walk the way of love, to walk the way of compassion, to walk the way of truth, to walk the way of kindness. Because that way is your way, and it's the only way that brings life. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.